First, let me say, as always, it is just wonderful to see so many folks out that have a concern about living their lives in a way that's pleasing to God, and we appreciate that so much. Certainly glad that Rochelle's parents decided to come and be with her to encourage her today and to encourage us, and we've grown to love them very much in their lives. We do miss some folks that aren't here. And certainly want to remember them, and we certainly appreciate the fact that, again, all of those people, if they had the opportunity, would be here with us, and we thank you so much for that. We're glad that for some there's been some good news about their health, and we want to continue to pray for those that there's not as good a news about, but with God's help, certainly whatever happens in life, we can learn to just praise and honor and glorify His name for all that He does for us. We certainly want to be able to live a life in a way that when we leave this life, we will be prepared. When we talk about that, we're going to be studying, as we do every first Sunday, one of the letters or books of the New Testament. And we're up to Philemon, this extremely long letter. Should, in some ways, it is so packed with things in it. As I told Linda the other day, that we could probably study just hundreds of lessons from this, and it is just words that are from the heart and certainly from God about how life should be lived and how a person should do it. And I always put up 2 Timothy 3:16 because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The reason I always mention that is because we either believe that Philemon is inspired of God or we don't. And it's what I've said about all the Scriptures. We either go back to what Christ said, and I'll repeat it again. I want to always emphasize this. Jesus said that He was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, when He left. He also said the Father was going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, when He left. In John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:13, He emphasized the importance of them having this inspired Word and making sure that they understood that it came from God. We can know that it comes from God simply because all of the things written therein are way above anything that a person could possibly think up. In this particular letter, we're actually in this case going to be studying about the people in Philemon. This is a people lesson, if you will. When we look at it, and we always spend the first part of the lesson talking a little bit about the background and all that goes with this. When we think about this particular book, and in the second lesson, then we'll do basically an outline. And I always tell you, it's my outline. Don't take it to heart. Do your own, you know, the way you would want to do it. But as we study this book, we find there's some very wonderful people. First of all, there's the man Philemon. Philemon is a good man. Philemon is one of those people that as we read about him, we certainly would love being associated with him. He is our brother in Christ. He is one that is only mentioned in this book. And when we think about his life and we think about some things that we're going to talk about, it is very important that Paul gets this letter to him at this time, as we'll learn a little bit later. He may have been one of the Christians at Colossae. Now, how do we come up with this? Well, we would turn back to Colossians 4, verse 17. We will see one of the persons mentioned in this, who seems to be probably his son, as being one of the men who served with the congregation at Colossae, in which he tells him, Archippus, that he needs to make sure he continues in his ministry. So it seems that this young man, this son of theirs, was working as a, what we call a servant of the church there at Colossae. Now that could have several meanings, and he also encourages him as if he was afraid that he might be losing his faith. And there are some historical things about this man that I will not get into, that you can read for yourself. I'm going to talk strictly about what we can know historically, some degree, but mostly about the Scriptures. Philemon is complimented for being one who is both hospitable and refreshing. There are people in life that we enjoy being around. There are people in life that are hospitable. Now, that term is way beyond just having folks in our house, even though that's an important part of this. It is people who would show the right type of hospitality all of the time. Regardless of what the circumstances might be, they would show their hospitality. But then there are those folks too, and some have parts of this and some don't, that are very refreshing. When you're around them, it's as if you can feel this cool air moving over you, as someone said, in a hot day. It's as if you can go in and get a glass of lemonade and be refreshed after having worked out in the yard. Or it's as if you've, you know, been out shoveling the snow and you walk in and you can feel that warmth come back into your body. It's the refreshment. And there are people who do that for us, who make us feel that way. When this is spiritual, it's even more important. It means that they build us up constantly spiritually. That they will do the things that are there to help us, to encourage us in life, to make us better in our lives. And this is this man. Since Appia, I guess, is mentioned with him, it is possible she was his wife. When we look at this, we think of probably that's the case, because it says that he, to the beloved, he's continuing to mention them as if they're part of his household. I already mentioned this as probably his son. Archippus is a minister of the gospel, it is said. Now, that again could have several meanings, because we know that he could have been a deacon there as serving in that office, or he could have been a minister in the sense of preaching the gospel there. He may have been the one that was preaching to the church at Colossae and was working with the church there. But the main person in this is Onesimus. When we look at Onesimus and we think about him, he's the primary one in this only because of a relationship involved. He is a man who has certainly been a slave of Philemon's. He has been a man who has had to be in the service of someone else. We don't know how that happened. We don't know if he was bought. We don't know that if he became a slave by other means. Now, this is an unusual thing to us today in lots of respects. But slavery in those days was a little bit different than what we normally think of. Slavery in those days, lots of times in the Roman Empire, slaves were, in lots of senses, equal to everyone else. It's just that they owed someone to work for them and to do whatever they chose. Now, there were slaves, though, that were forced into it and could lose their lives as a result of it. We know of the fact that the Romans used them to do battle, to entertain them, and to kill one another. So slavery is not always what we think. But now this is in Asia, the Asia of that time. And when we look at it, it's Turkey today. And when we think about that area, certainly we can understand and know that this area, if that's where they lived, that slaves were everywhere. And people had them and they used them to work for them. You could not just on your own leave that. You had to be given freedom. Now, we know that from other scriptures in the Bible. Even if we didn't know it from history, we know that, and we'll look at that later on. But he apparently had ran away from Philemon. In the context, it's easy to see that. And he was not serving out his time with Philemon. He was not doing what he should have done. Now, we say, but wait just a second. Slavery is wrong. Well, these folks, as we look in the Bible, when we look at what they were doing and how it was being done, Paul does not say that this is wrong. He just simply says he needs to go back and fulfill what he was supposed to be doing. Somehow he ends up in Rome. We don't know how. Certainly in those days, you know, slaves had a little bit more freedom usually to travel about and do what they wanted to, as long as they had permission. And they would lots of times go with their masters or those that had a power over them. We don't know if he goes there to seek out Paul that he knew. We don't know how he came to see Paul. We know that Paul is at this point in his first imprisonment and he is locked up. He has a place that he can have and entertain folks. They have allowed him to do that as they would do in those days. As long as you had the money, they let you do a lot of things. If you didn't have money, they didn't let you do anything, sometimes even to starve to death. So when we look at this, for some reason he ends up where Paul is. Now, what would be the first thing you would think Paul would do if someone showed up on his doorsteps? Well, I'll tell you the first thing Paul would do. Paul would teach them about the gospel of Christ. His whole interest was letting people know how you might be a physical slave, but you can be one of Christ's free men. And that's what he would have taught him as we studied in the lesson today. So he teaches him the gospel. And Onesimus listens. Now we might think, now here's Onesimus who has lived in Philemon's household. Philemon is a very good man. Philemon is a man who's hospitable. He's very refreshing. Why could not Philemon teach him the gospel? But it shows us something. And we need to learn this lesson. You can take any two of us, and we might both have opportunity to talk to someone about the gospel. And for some reason, one person can present it in a way that will get to the heart of the other person, and the other one cannot. There's been times in my life that I've talked with people about the gospel and they were not obedient to it. And someone else came along and talked to them about it and they became an obedient child of God. It is an amazing thing, but in this case, Paul, for some reason, not only has the ability, but for some reason, Onesimus listens. And Onesimus wants to become a child of God. And Onesimus becomes a child of God. He becomes, as Paul would say, a brother. And so when we look at this, he becomes a faithful Christian. And not only that, but a faithful servant to Paul. You might say, why would I bring that up? Because he had not been a faithful servant to Philemon. He had run away from Philemon. But he's voluntarily now serving Paul. He's voluntarily being a servant. But shouldn't all Christians voluntarily become servants of others and serve others? Isn't that what we're here for? Isn't that what, in Colossians, he's trying to tell, if that's their son, what he needs to be doing? Paul is extremely happy to have this man there. He is such a servant to Paul. Paul cannot go out and about, but he can send others out. He can have them come and he can teach them and they can go teach others. And what a benefit that is. And he has men there that are with him that are doing that. But for some reason, Onesimus is like one of those probably who just learned the gospel. Or maybe he's known it, but for the first time he's become a Christian. Now he's excited. He understands what he has. He maybe wants to talk to others about it. And so as a result, he's a very good person in the kingdom. We know that he's so good, that he's doing so well, that Paul entrusts him, a runaway slave, to take a letter back to Colossae and a letter back to Philemon, his master. That's a lot of trust. That says he had no doubt now that Onesimus would live the life that he needed to live. Because of Paul's great desire to work in the kingdom and the help that Onesimus is giving them, he has mixed feelings about sending him back. Because if we think about life in general, what is our primary concern in life? It's to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So that should have been his first concern. But he knows that he can't do that and obey the other commands that God has given concerning this. He has no right to keep, if you will, something that belongs to someone else. You can't do that. You cannot do that and stay in God's service. He appeals then to Philemon's love, his hospitality, and his ability to refresh others in sending Onesimus back to him. Because he knows that Philemon has a right to be upset. That Philemon needs to treat him right, just as he's taught in places like Colossians 3 and in Ephesians 6 about masters and servants. But he understands that the servant did wrong. And that as a result, there can be some things like, for instance, if you're voluntarily serving someone, and you're supposed to be there at 7 o'clock, and you don't show up to 8 o'clock, they have a right to do something about that. Because you've agreed to something, you see. That money back in your code, and it could be to the...